All right, we looked at the wide political landscape post-2024 election. Now let's zero in on one of the nominations made by President-elect Trump, Matt Gaetz, for Attorney General. You can end that sentence either with a period or a question mark. Well, for those of you unaware, Matt Gaetz makes Marjorie Taylor Greene look like Queen of the Prom when it comes to popularity in Congress. Others would say he makes a philanderer look moral. Be that as it may, here to take a look at the, for lack of a better word, reasons behind this pick is the co-president of Public Citizen, Lisa Gilbert. Thanks for being here today, Lisa.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Public Citizen on the web, it's citizen.org. What was your first reaction when this announcement came out this past week?
Shocked, I would say. It is really pretty hard to think of a less qualified candidate for Attorney General than Matt Gaetz. So certainly, though we've been expecting corrupt, conflicted, sort of corporate toady type choices for these posts, we could not have imagined that Matt Gaetz would be on the list.
And I was looking at his resume. He did go to college to study law, and for 2 years he worked in some, I guess we'd call a B-level law firm down in Florida, doing what no one seems to know. But then he caught the political bug, and he went down that path with his life. So, as far as experience, yeah, if he put the law school textbook in front of him, maybe he'll have a chance to hold his own in a small claims court. But that might be about it.
That's right. I mean, certainly not a practicing attorney, not someone with great familiarity with the role of attorney general or the way they are supposed to defend the people, not defend the president. So certainly we're not excited about this. And I think it's hard to imagine someone coming in like this who can do a good job.
And as a side note to all this, too, if you want to add a little bit of intrigue, Gaetz resigned his House seat, which when you're nominated, you don't have to do right away. You wait until the nomination, until you get the job. This way you got something to fall back on if that falls through, which most people expect it to, but never say never in the land of Trump, apparently. But a lot of people say, too, this gives him cover to have that ethics report from the House Ethics Committee put away, at least for the here and now.
That's right. This certainly seems well-timed for attempting to ensure that this report never sees the light of day. The list of allegations that the Ethics Committee is looking into is long, and many of them are things that would make you morally inappropriate for most posts, and certainly you should not be serving as the highest law official in the land with this kind of sex scandal, trafficking scandal, ethical quandaries to your name.
How much of this is, much like the magician does, I want you to look over here so you don't see what my assistant is doing over there that makes the magic trick happen. How much of this is a diversion by Trump to get people's attention off of his, well, let's just say less than stellar picks so far, like Pete Hegseth to head the Defense Department or Tulsi Gabbard for the role that she's in, or at least defining for UN ambassador? She has about as much experience in that realm as Gaetz does to head the DOJ, be attorney general. Is this just a diversion to make those picks look good, or at least better?
It's been speculated. You're right that perhaps choosing someone this outrageous, someone who loudly says that January 6th was not an insurrection, introduced legislation intended to protect J6 Capitol riot defendants, someone like this with these ethical backdrops, it's almost impossible not to cause an uproar, an outrage, press coverage, and maybe it's a distraction. I'm not in that camp. I think, he is in the mode of quickly paying back favors and acting on whims, and it doesn't seem to me like this was some vast strategy to distract us from these other unsavory noms, but I suppose, no one is inside the workings of his head but him. So it's possible that this is intended to be kind of a red herring, people or a shiny object for people to follow around so they don't spend time thinking about these other unqualified choices.
I drew a blank with Tulsi Gabbard. She's been nominated to head the intel apparatus of our nation, which, again, I don't know how much experience she has off of her career path, but that is what it is. We are talking with Lisa Yilbert, who is co-president of Public Citizen. Citizen.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Is this a show of bitterness that Trump has for the DOJ by trying to, someone like Gates could really just dismantle the whole thing?
I think it is. I think one of the things that he disliked in his first term was having attorneys general who didn't listen to him. I mean, it is absolutely true that the DOJ is independent from the White House. It is not supposed to be an entity that defends Trump. It's not Trump's legal team or apparatus. It is the legal team for the American people. And so that distinction, that firewall that attorneys general usually draw, is not something that was palatable to Trump. It's why he fired Jeff Sessions, if you might recall. So I think his experience with that, coupled with the criminal prosecutions that the current DOJ had embarked upon for his, insurrection, probably makes DOJ one of his least favorite departments or agencies. And it makes sense. He would want the ultimate loyalist at the helm.
And with that in mind, the belief or the assumption is that the Senate confirmation process will pretty much just involve a rubber stamp. However, if you look at who was elected majority leader in the Senate, the Trump world, MAGA world, whatever you want to call it, wanted Senator Rick Scott. It didn't work out that way. Are we seeing a little backbone among Senate Republicans that could put a lot of these picks into the well, maybe not category?
Too soon to tell, but certainly that's the hope. Some of these do seem so outrageous, so unqualified, so scandalous that it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard vote for a set of Republicans who have previously demonstrated real support for the rule of law, for example.
How much of this is Project 2025 actually coming to life after being long denied by so many in Trump world?
It remains to be seen what components of Project 2025 will actually be implemented, but I'm sure that a piece of the calculus is who they're choosing, the personnel they pick to put in place to implement components of that plan. And there are many, many scary things in there. And so, in order to implement them, you need people who are loyalists, who are not particularly constrained by the rule of law or the law of the land. And that does seem to be the type of person thus far that Trump is choosing for key roles.
When you think of the characters, I use that term in a variety of ways, that have been nominated and that will go publicly before the Senate confirmation process, is this going to shine a brighter spotlight on some of these individuals and their realities and maybe the Trump and these people would really prefer to have happen?
I assume that if you offer yourself up for these posts, you're aware of the fact that you're about to go under a microscope. It sort of depends if some of the most scandalous or the most unqualified, like Matt Gaetz, take up all the oxygen, if some of the other ones will get less attention on personal lives or conflicts of interest or the things that get examined in these types of hearings, confirmation hearings. But we shall see. One of the things we at Public Citizen want to do is draw attention to conflicts of interest, to corruption, to the things that might make some of these folks not appropriate and hopefully, derail some of these confirmations. So we will see how it plays out.
And that's why I was asking the question. I'm thinking more about the people who will review this. I mean, it's not like back in the old days when only C-SPAN would run it and almost next to nobody would ever see them. This is going to be on the cable news channels, probably in some cases the network news coverage as well. A lot of people are going to be watching these confirmation hearings, like with Bobby Kennedy, for example. They're going to hear him asked about things he said or maybe even just step up and say things he said. And the person watching is going to say, I didn't vote for this.
It seems very possible. I think, many people who voted for Trump voted for him with this idea that he would reduce prices and help with economic goals that they have and improve the country in a certain way. Hearing from nominees who say things that are wildly counter might be the first chink in that armor. Also, the policies, when they become implemented, I think people will also potentially begin to have some buyer's remorse.
Learn more about the efforts, the information that is presented, and the watchdog aspect of Public Citizen, their website, citizen.org. We've been talking with their co-president, Lisa Gilbert. Lisa, thanks so much for your insight into what can be both interesting and challenging times to try to comprehend exactly what the heck's going on. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.